You're careful about what you eat and what products you use, and you want the same healthy life for your beloved pets. You've been searching the internet and social media for natural solutions to your pet's issues, and you're trying to find ways to prevent issues from cropping up in the first place. But everywhere you look, you find different answers, varied opinions, and you just end up more confused. Your pet is a part of your family. He deserves the best, and he deserves to live a long, healthy life. I'm here to tell you that it can be easy, that taking care of your pet naturally doesn't have to be a headache for you. I'm going to talk to you about everything natural wellness, including what to feed your pet, how to use herbs and essential oils, massage and hands-on techniques, meditation, communication, and energy healing. If it's natural, it's worth talking about. In this podcast, you'll learn everything you need to know about taking care of your pet naturally, for life. I'm Corrine, and this is the Enlightened Animal Podcast. So today on the podcast, we have a special guest named Michael Lane. Michael is an animal communicator and animal healer based in New Mexico. He grew up with dogs, rabbits, gerbils, hamsters, and birds. And two of the most transformative periods in his life were both marked by animals. Michael's black cat Bandit, who he adopted in 1995, was his first cat and not only opened his eyes to how amazing cats are, but also to how the friendship and love with an animal is no different and no less deep than that with another human. In 2013, Michael embarked on a month-long trip to Thailand to volunteer at a village that rescues elephants. The experiences he had with those special, highly evolved animals led directly to a life rebirth that started him down the path that led to communicating with animals professionally. Michael is a certified practicing animal communicator and healer. He is well-versed in EFT tapping and scalar wave energy healing, two effective modalities to support the health and well-being of our furry companions. In addition to animal communication and energy healing, he offers services to help find lost animals, support animals and their humans at the ends of the animals' lives, and he also teaches animal communication to people. Michael lives in Sandia Park, New Mexico with his wife Diane and his family of cats, Butch, Sundance, Picasso, Lyle, Yoda, and Luna Bear. Michael's goal is to not only help people with their immediate issues with their animals, but to help connect us all on a deeper level to our brother and sister animals. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. I realize that's a pretty long bio, but it kind of says
it's okay.
It all.
Okay. It's very interesting, so I didn't want to leave any parts out. To get started on the podcast, I always like to start with a story, a pivotal moment that changed your life and actually took you down this new path into what you do professionally nowadays. So I would love to hear that story if you're willing to share that with us.
Sure. It's kind of in my bio. I've had sort of some really big spiritual awakenings, I would call them, around animals that really led me into this work. And the first one was that cat. And I had never had cats growing up. So, professionally, before I was an animal communicator for years, like maybe 30 years, I was in the film business as an editor. And I was kind of burned out in that. And my love for animals had just grown over the years, particularly, inspired by that cat. And I got another cat, for him. And both of those cats really kind of awakened me to, the connection that we can have with animals. And then, along with the burnout in editing, the fact that I was pulled out of that I was pulled to something else, I knew it had to be, there was something with animals. I thought it might be a pet store or something like that. But when I went on that trip to Thailand to, basically be with elephants like all the time, and these are elephants not in the zoo, these are elephants that came from like logging, or they came from you know, those little weird tourist centers where they're kind of just trained to do one thing, and they're, you know, they're pretty much abused in, you know, both of those situations. Right. But when they sort of are, you know, there was a program to rescue them, and I lived among, you know, the village of the mahouts for the elephants, and, you know, I got to see them and hang out with them every day, and I wasn't an animal communicator then, but something, just being around them while they were kind of doing their thing, not, you know, again, very different than from in a zoo, you know, where they sort of live their lives naturally. I came out of that trip like, I need to do something for animals. Like, I really need to do something for animals, and Pet Store is not good enough. Like, I need to feel this energy all the time. Like, you know, I didn't know how to speak to them, but just being around them, like, the energy you feel around them, like, they are, without a doubt to me, like, evolved beings. So that just, you know, and then once I came back after that trip, and I took a class in animal communication. It was just like, what the hell, you know, just like, see what this is about. And when I saw that, you know, that this is, could actually be a real thing, then it was a matter like, okay, I want to try this. I want to dive deep. I need to find a teacher. And so, and I did, and kind of the rest is history. Once I learned that you could really do this, that this was not just a parlor trick, which I used to think that that was it. Like, I didn't think that this was real, but right. You know, when you do it with strange animals and you realize you tell their people that, you know, things about their animals, and they go, how did you know that? You know, it's real.
Yeah, definitely. That's an amazing story. And I find it interesting because you kind of took a huge leap coming back from being around wild animals to, I'm just going to look up animal communication. I mean, was it just something that appeared to you? Because usually if you're not in that realm, you don't really hear about animal communication. So how did you bridge that gap? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I really felt more than, I mean, you know, spiritually tied in to higher power. Like, I felt like I was being, you know, led to things. You know, around that time is when I also met my wife. But after coming, you know, off that trip, I don't know. I saw it somewhere. I saw it advertised somewhere. You know, I can't remember if it was online. It might have been like at one, because I started taking classes, and like I took a psychometry course, you know, which is where you get sort of psychic hicks. Oh, and I knew an animal communicator. That's right. I knew her. She had, I had used her to talk to my cat Picasso when he just like when, you know, I was introducing him to the household. That must be it. And she had offered a course, and I loved it. I just knew that she was not quite the right teacher. But yeah, that's what right. It was. It was a friend that I'd been introduced to. I used once for animal communication, and I was like, that's interesting. And then I called her up when I was in this, I'd say, higher state, like coming off that trip.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, you know, a lot of times it is that you're introduced kind of through a different avenue, but you're at that point where you're open to it spiritually or whatever. Yeah. And yeah. It just calls to you, and you just have to follow that. Yeah. So that's wonderful. I noticed that you talk about two things, because most people know what animal communication is, but there's two other aspects of services that you offer that I think, one, some people may know of, but probably not at all when it comes to animals. And the other one, I think, is a term that's not heard very often. So I'd love to delve into that a little deeper. The first one is EFT tapping. Now, I think that the most of the people that listen to this podcast have heard of tapping before for humans. And I think it's pretty well known in the human realm to be used for all sorts of things. You know, they use it for veterans at the VA hospital. So it's a pretty well known modality, but not so much with animals. So I'd love to hear how it translates to working with animals, because I think that a lot of people are probably scratching their heads going, wait a second, an animal can't tap on, you know, it's not something that you hear about an animal doing. So I'd love to hear how you apply that in the animal realm and how it works and what you can use it for.
Right. So, you know, EFT tapping comes from Chinese medicine, and it's energy work and it's emotional energy work. And so the basic principle is, you know, their emotions are as deep and as complex as ours. That's why it works. That's why it works so well. Now, in terms of, you know, physically doing it, again, it's energy work. You don't technically have to even, you know, touch the animal, although it is preferred. And generally, like, and I find in my practice, dogs are okay with it. They're great with it. They welcome it. I teach their, you know, the dog's people how to do it. Cats, not so much, but you still do it. Like my cats, you know, for me to tap like literally on them. And when I talk about that, for people who don't know, what we're tapping on are like acupressure points on the body, mainly around the face, but also like at the heart area, other areas that apply to that sort of correspond to organs in the body that also correspond to the emotions that we often, especially if they're traumas or anxieties or fears, that we sort of stuff, mm-hmm. that they're sort of trapped in our bodies energetically. And, you know, it may sound a little abstract or whatever. It's a very practical tool. Like it, you know, as humans, we can, of course, tap on ourselves. But with animals, again, it works. You know, a dog, you would tap on them. Horses, generally, again, what they do is they usually flinch at first because it's very foreign. Like, what are you doing to me? But it's just like soft pressure. Like, you're literally tapping. But you know, with cats, you can like air tap, you can tap on a photo of them, you can tap on a stuffed animal. Again, it's because it's energy work. Animal communications, also energy work. That's why we don't have to touch the animal or meet the animal in person. It's energy. Telepathy is energy.
Right.
So it's sort of the same idea.
Okay. And so then, you could, I think you already answered this question, but then you don't have to be there in person to do it, because you did say something about using a photo or a stuffed animal. So you can do it at a distance as well then.
That's right. Like, you know, pretty much 99% of my clients for all my work is remote. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when in terms of tapping, I teach my clients how to do it over like Zoom, over like a video chat like this. And, you know, it's pretty easy actually if you, and you know, you follow along. And it really, it's about, anyone can do it, but it's about being in touch with your animal's emotions. So what I often require is animal communication first. So we know what the animal's going through. Then we know what to tap on,
right?
Because tapping has to, you know, address directly what their fears are, what their anxieties, just like for humans. All the principles of EFT tapping for humans all apply to animals.
That's why. And I love that you said that you teach your clients to do it themselves also, because I'm all about empowering pet parents to take charge of their pet's well-being. So I love that you're not just saying, well, you have to come to me and I'll do it. You're also empowering them to do it themselves after they work with you.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's what all this work is about, is like, you know, kind of spreading this to everyone. That's why I teach animal communication. It's like everyone can do this. But yeah, with tapping, you know, think about it. If you have two sessions with me, you know, tapping is sort of like therapy for humans. Like, you're not going to be fixed after one session usually, especially with the deep-seated trauma. But if the person who has the animal knows how to tap, then they can be tapping on them every day or every time the animal has an episode. So, you know, you're going to get way better results, right?
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so there's another type of energy work that you do that is called scalar wave. And again, I think this is something that most people don't know about. You don't really hear about it in the general population. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that because it's kind of neat. You have all these different tools in your toolbox to help animals. And I'm sure people are wondering what the heck scalar wave is as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's history to it, some of which, you know, Nikola Tesla discovered, I guess, these scalar waves. And then there was a professor at UCLA named Valerie Hunt who discovered that scalar wave energy could actually be used to heal. And I learned EFT tapping and scalar wave from my teacher, Joan Ranquette. And a lot of people in our field do Reiki, and Reiki is another energy. And I would say generally it's sort of the same principle. I don't know that much about Reiki. I know there's I know there's levels, but I do know that in principle, just like in scalar, it can be done remotely, that you're moving the energy. So it's, you know, a zero point energy wave. It's kind of hard. It does sound very abstract, but again, this is a very practical thing. You know, when I was training as I think you know, you know, we were doing it on animals in person, we were doing it on animals remotely, and we would see results. And I've seen results time after time. I work scalar wave is good for emotional stuff, but it's really good for physical stuff. I usually use EFT tapping for the emotional stuff and scalar wave for the physical stuff. And, you know, the number one thing that usually happens, like sometimes in the middle of a session, a very ill animal, and very ill animals don't eat much. They often, like, that's one big sign, as we know, that they are ill, is they stop eating. And often in that scalar wave session, like, that's the first thing that improves, is like they have their appetite back. Like sometimes, like in the middle of the session, they start eating. So, you know, there's practical signs to see that it's actually working. But yeah, it's like completely non-invasive. It's not a drug. It's not going to have side effects. The whole point of it is, you know, your body has a sense of balance, that it sort of knows where that is. And when you're sick, your body is in chaos. It's way out of balance. Scalar wave, and I would imagine Reiki, the whole point of it is it puts your body back in balance by applying this energy. And all I'm doing is I'm sort of the middle person, just sort of running that energy into the body. And again, usually remotely. It could be in person too.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's really nice because then you have all these different tools, if I can call them tools, to utilize depending on the situation, depending on the animal that you're working with, and you can then modify your session based on what's needed, which is a really lovely way to, instead of only having one option and one thing that you can do. I really like that. You also said you work with lost animals, which I know is becoming more and more rare. A lot of animal communicators don't want to work with lost animals because with that added stress of the animal being out there and panicking, it is a lot harder to get a connection. But you really kind of put that, I know even on your website, you talk about it a lot. I would love to hear a little bit about how you work with lost animals and a success story you've had, because it is something I think you're one of the rare ones out there, because most people just don't even want to touch that. I've heard it over and over again, like, oh yeah, I don't do lost animals.
Yeah. So it's stressful, right? Mm-hmm. You know, most of the problems that an animal communicator gets, I mean, they're real problems or whatever, but, you know, a lost animal can be life or death, right? I mean, it's high stakes. But, I just figured, like, it's hard. It's draining. It's when you do not succeed, it is like one of the worst feelings in the world. You know, but when you do succeed, it is one of the best feelings in the world. You feel like a superhero. And in terms of like, And basically, like, I use everything for lost animals, everything I know, because you sort of need multiple things. You definitely need animal communication. And again, that's the most important thing. You have to know, first of all, you have to know if the animal's alive or passed, right?
Right.
And that's usually a pretty easy one to pick up when you connect with them. And then if they're injured, you know, and this is stuff that gets in a little deeper into animal communication, where, you know, you have to do medical intuition, knowing the state of the body, which is sort of like a deeper level of animal communication.
Right.
And you have to really pay attention to sort of, you know, what they see, what they feel, what they hear. You know, you have to, because the description you give to the person might ring a bell, and that's sometimes what happens. But, you know, there's so many other things, like remote viewing, which I got a little training in, which again is like just seeing the whole area. Like theoretically, you can pull back as if you're on a GPS map and sort of see like the whole area where this animal is. Sometimes that comes through stronger than others. You know, sometimes that is a real strong, you know, feeling, and sometimes it's not, you know.
Yeah. And is that through, are you seeing that through their eyes, or are you seeing it kind of almost, okay.
Well, you know, the way I've been taught it is, yes, you're going through the animal, and like you literally can sort of like, you know, kind of be, you know, sort of behind their eyes and experiencing everything as they experience it. But then theoretically, you could also kind of get out of the animal. Again, this is intuitive energy work. So you are not bound by time or space or, you know, physicality. So then you can sort of jump out of the animal and see, what is the picture? What does this house look like that, you know, they're so small, I'm not getting the full view of it. So it, you know, everything is sort of on the table with that. And, you know, and you get good at this by practicing. And then, you know, EFT tapping, after a while, I tried this once, because what EFT tapping adds is there's panic all around. Like there's panic with the person, there's panic with the animal. And I've found that when people are in panic, you know, think about it. Energetically, you're looking for a reunion. You're looking for an energy of attraction. Right? What does panic do? What does fear do? It repels. It pushes away.
Exactly.
It makes it harder. So, you know, I remember I just decided to try. I wasn't taught this, you know, particular, you know, EFT tapping for lost animals. But I tried it with one client because I knew this person was just, and, you know, how many times, like the next day, like something shifts, especially I see it in the person from the EFT tapping. They're panicked. They think their animal's dead or they'll never get them again. And then something shifts and they feel, okay, I'm in a different space. And the next day they find the animal. That's happened to me so many times. Now, not
so
all the time.
You're doing tapping with the owner then in that.
Yeah,
in that
but situation. Also, again, remember, because it's energy work.
Right.
I don't have to, I do it on the animal too. Because usually the animal's like stressed out, right?
Definitely.
Scared.
Yeah.
Not always. Sometimes they're on an adventure, right? Which makes that job harder. So there's EFT tapping, the scalar wave I use, especially if the animal's injured or, you know, just low energy, say from lack of food, you know, that always helps. And then knowing the ground game. Like, what does your flyer look like? Flyers are still so important, you know, like getting people to, you know, be on your side by just spreading the word. That groundwork, like, that's another thing. It's not all just, you know, telepathy and the tools of energy work. It's, you know, helping the person do the ground game, like talking to people. What do their flyers look like? I have a background in, you know, film and graphic design, so I know what a good flyer looks like, and that's important, you know? So it's just like so many things. And, you know, sometimes it's because of the flyer. Sometimes it's because of the animal communication. Sometimes another thing I do is map dousing, you know, with to track the energy of the animal. So sometimes that is the thing that does it. Sometimes I think it's the EFT tapping. I never know what, you know, what combination or what will work. And sometimes one thing doesn't and one thing does. Sometimes none of them work. Sometimes, you know, we can't get the animal back. And sometimes it's because the animal is having an adventure. Like they want an adventure. And then in what usually happens at some point, the animal goes, okay, I've had enough. And it's difficult getting back. Like now they're lost.
But it is, but, it is good. I think you just kind of, you're just throwing everything at the wall, everything you can, everything you know, and something's going to stick, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, because that's, if it's life or death, then you try everything, right?
Yeah.
If you, if it's so important, right, that you, like, I, anything that I have shown that, you know, that I've tried that works, I mean, and like EFT tapping was a revelation. Like, but all of those things, like, are important. All of those things.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's true. You don't normally think, oh, I don't think a lot of people think, oh, tapping could actually help me get this animal back. And I think maybe that's why a lot of animal communicators are afraid of it, because they feel like all they have is animal communication. And I like that you expanded on it and you said, you know what, I have all these tools and I'm just going to throw everything at it. And it seems to really work for you. So, which is wonderful, because you're helping reunite these people with their animals, which is a wonderful service to offer. You know,
when it works out, it's like the best feeling in the world, for sure.
That's
and
wonderful.
When it doesn't, it's hard.
Yeah,
and I can understand why people don't want to do it. I mean, because it's hard.
Yeah, I think anything like extremely emotional like that is a difficult.
Yeah.
You have to have and I think you have to have a strong, stable constitution, a lot of work on yourself as well in order to be able to be of service that way. So because you have all this panicked energy around you, so you have to kind of be the grounding rod. So that's great.
Yes.
I think it's a wonderful service that you provide. I wanted to move on and ask you, so I have a term that I created that I call soul-led dog parenting, and it's really bringing in all aspects of parenting, the spirit, you know, body, mind, and spirit, and kind of this holistic, beautiful package that it creates. And I would love to hear how you feel that your work fits in into soul-led dog parenting.
Well, I think like a good animal communicator does all this stuff. Like, I mean, every problem, every issue, I mean, the life experience of humans and animals is body, is spiritual and emotional. It's all three. All issues that people come to me with are usually they're you know, the animals peeing in the house. That's the physical. So they're upset, they're angry or whatever, emotional. And then the spiritual is like, what, you know, what's the deeper thing here? What's the relationship, you know, with the human and the animal as they try and, you know, move towards improving this and healing, you know? So I mean, I think all of this work, if you're kind of, I think, you know, your instinct, at least my instinct, is that it is always all about those three pillars. Always. Yeah. Like everything I approach with my own animals the same way. And if you forget one of them, if you leave out, and most times people leave out, number one, they leave out the spiritual, and probably number two is the emotional. So, but they're critical. And I think in many ways more important, because I feel like physical illness, it shows up in the spiritual emotional fields first, those energetic fields. And then if it's not resolved, you'll see problems with the body.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that answer your question, sort of?
Oh yeah. No, there was no, you answered however you'd like. It was just, okay. I wanted to put you under pressure there and make you answer a question I didn't tell you I was going to ask you. No, it's excellent. I think that's true too. And also even, I think that, you know, even people looking at themselves, a lot of times, you know, what you were talking about, like behavioral issues, which is what people focus on in training, and, you know, they're focused on the body. A lot of times, I find that if they look inward and do work on themselves, a lot of times it's just the animal mirroring what they need to work on. And then they work on themselves, which would, like, the tapping or however they need to work on themselves. And then miraculously, the behavioral issue just disappears.
Right. So. Or a shift in perspective, a shift in relating with your animal, an understanding of where your animal's coming from, which can come from animal communication. Yeah. Like all problems, all healing, I think, is both the person and the animal. Like they both have a role for sure.
So much. And it is true. I do think that the way, with all the tools that you have and everything that you offer, you do kind of hit on all aspects of this, soul-led dog parenting or pet parenting. I mean, I focus on dogs, but all pets. But I think it is a nice way to kind of come from every angle, that you can help work on all the different aspects of it all together, kind of holistically, which is really beautiful to see. I want to thank you for spending this time with me on this podcast. I greatly appreciate it. And if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
So all my things are just Animal Michael Lane, all one word. So my website is Animal Michael Lane, just all scrunched together. And that's my website, and I'm on Instagram at Animal Michael Lane. I'm on Facebook at Animal Michael Lane, and my email address is michael@animalmichaellane.com. So I'll keep it simple.
It is simple. If they can remember one, they should be able to find you anywhere. Well, thank you so much. And I really appreciate it. It was really lovely having this conversation with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And that's the end of our podcast today. So thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're the kind of person who likes to help others, then share this with your friends and family who have pets. If you have found value, they will too. If you have questions, I'm here to help. Email me questions at contact@enlightenedanimal.com, and I may use your question for a future podcast episode. If you want more, check out my website at www.enlightenedanimal.com. Finally, I have a personal request. Please leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, ideally a positive one, so we can reach more people and help more animals' lives. Thanks for listening.